Beautiful people, welcome to the Ask Evie Show. You are listening live with your weekly host, Evie Kane. And thanks for being here with me today for the premiere show. I wanted to let you know how this show came about. I was taking a long commute and listening to mainstream talk radio, and I just had the hit it would be a great idea to give people a forum where they could call in and ask about whatever personal challenges they were having in their life, whatever might be up for them right now, either in the areas of relationships, family, career, whatever was going on, and feel safe doing that and get some guidance that hopefully came from a place of compassion, kindness, respect, and warmth, and maybe even a little lightheartedness. I know being a licensed psychotherapist in practice for 18 years, it sometimes takes a lot for people to call in and open up. So I want to encourage you to do that. This is a really, really safe place. I've been called many things, the psychic psychotherapist, the practical mystic. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, I'm an ordained minister, I'm a shamanic practitioner, all of that stuff is on the website. And the labels and credentials maybe aren't as important as the connection I want to make with each and every one of you that's listening today. So actually my very, very favorite title is Evie. So I'll be here each week to answer your questions with both the psychological aspect and any other intuitive stuff that comes through for spirit. And once a month, I'll have a guest speaker on the show. And the primary criteria I'm looking for in a guest speaker is I'm looking for people who are really up to doing much good on the planet and that can be an inspiration to others. So the first one, this probably will be the last week of every month, so it'll be the last week in October. So I wanted to get things open. Let's get rocking and rolling with some questions. The lines are open. You can either Skype or call in. There's a toll-free number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And for my international friends and listeners, there are several Skype in or call in numbers listed on bbsradio.com or on askevyradio.com. So I look forward to taking your questions in this next hour. And while we're waiting for that, I also have received some email questions. So why don't we start with one of those? I have a question that came in from Danielle in Australia. Give a big shout out to all the beautiful people of Oz. And Danielle was asking about panic attacks and if crystals work well for this. So that's a really great question, and there's a lot of ways to go about that. Since I don't have you live on the phone, Danielle, or know your age or maybe what has been happening in your life, let me start by saying that yes, people think about it's a great thing to calm down. You know, crystals may calm you, and that's good. But I want to tell you, when you're dealing with panic or anxiety, it's kind of counterintuitive, but the very first thing that you want to do that helps the most is get your body moving. That sounds really strange, doesn't it? If you can do anything that's going to put you in an aerobic state, because what will happen is it will cause you to breathe more deeply, and it will help to relax your muscles and provide the oxygen that you need. And that's the primary thing, because when people are panicked, if you may notice, they have this rapid, shallow breathing, almost like a little puppy. And so it's a physiological thing. And so it's like if you can release some of that tension and physicalness through breath work, through doing that. Plus, you know, there's nothing like that to get your mind off your anxious thoughts. That's the first thing. The movement's important first, then followed by calming things. So, yes, crystals can help, and I'd encourage you that it's like a combination of things is what works best. Calming things, like the best way to handle a panic attack, is to hopefully not have one. It's through prevention. It's like practice deep breathing beforehand so that it's more natural to you as something that causes panic comes up. Crystals, you know, you could look on the net and, you know, depending on whose site it is, they will tell you all sorts of different things, different crystals. But as I tuned into you, Danielle, I got that amethyst would help you a lot, and peridot. Peridot is a beautiful green stone. I know there's a beach in Hawaii where the sand is actually all peridot. Imagine that, being able to lay out on that. So breath work, the crystals, and my very best advice to anybody always is, you know, follow your own guidance. When you're going and see what, like if you're going into a store that has crystals, try out for yourself which ones make you feel calm. So hopefully that helps. And if you want to call in and ask more or questions, that's absolutely fine. Thank you. And I see that we have Emily on the line from Ohio. And Emily, are you there?
Hi, Abby. I'm here. How are you?
Hi, Emily. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Evie. Congratulations on your new show.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's good to hear your sweet voice. What can I help you with today? What was your question?
Well, Evie, I've been wondering about all of the talk about we need to prepare for 2012. People are talking about all of the catastrophes that are happening in our world, and how can we collectively and individually help the universe?
Well, that's a really good question. And I, you know, just like the crystals, people say all sorts of different things, don't they?
Mm-hmm. They do, Evie.
I have kind of a different spin on this, Emily. 2012 has been written through time and memorial as a big shift on the planet. And whether there's weather events or doom and gloom or all sorts of things. And it's kind of reminiscent to me of, it can kind of whip people into a panic. Do you remember how everything, all the stuff about the new millennium in 2000? And I remember thinking the same thing, it's another day, and it's where you put your own focus and your own consciousness. So I think that the best preparedness for 2012, in my humble opinion, is to keep living your light and your life and to project that out. In other words, I don't think there is truly an emergency preparedness, disasterness plan that a lot of people are trying to put into place now for themselves. You know, like how people used to have bunkers with bombs and, you know, all that sort of thing, you know. And it's like, you know, living in Southern California, we have lots of catastrophes, fires and earthquakes. And I love when my phone rings off the wall because they see a news clip and they show the same horrific news clip of, you know, six city blocks over and over again. And, you know, I have to smile. And so it's more where you're going to put your focus in your consciousness. That's my personal belief. And I think I don't want to be as cavalier to say it's another year or another day, but I think things are unfolding just as they need to be. And you will be in the right place at the right time.
Thank you, Abby.
Yeah, was there anything else?
Am I allowed to ask another question?
Well, yeah, I saw on my little monitor here that you had two questions.
Oh,
perhaps
okay.
Not. Did
well,
you want
my
to
other
ask
one,
something?
Of course, was my other one is personal. May I ask that?
Of course.
Okay. I would like to know what your feelings are about Bill.
Are you asking me a question? I mean, I could tell you my feelings. What's really your question?
The question, his health issue.
Mm-hmm. What's your actual question?
My actual question is, why is Billy having difficulty bouncing back after his ordeal in February when he was in a coma for 8 days?
Right. And when you say bouncing back,
he's not feeling well.
He's not doing well. Has he gone back to his old lifestyle?
A little bit.
So if someone goes back to the same behaviors, lifestyle that they had before crisis, what's he have to say about it, Emily?
I'm sorry?
I'm sure you've asked him this, right?
Right.
What does he have to say about why he's doing that?
He doesn't say too much. That's the dilemma. He's pretty quiet.
So, you know, when we love someone, I know that we can, you know, I know, you know, maybe nobody but me goes through this. You know, I've had to learn that you can't change somebody's behavior no matter what you do. You can't love them into it, nag them into it, yell them into it, cajole them into it, shame them into it, plead them into it. Have you tried some of those things?
Yes.
And then none of them work, right?
Right.
Right. So basically, Bill is making the choices that he is making. And most important is, what are you going to be able to do for you in your life based on that?
Yes. All right. Well, thank you for the direction. I appreciate it. And I understand it.
Yeah. Bless you, Emily. It's an honest, and I'm saying that I know that that's a tough place that you're in. And I think that continue to try and to inspire him about how things were when he was healthier before he reverted back.
Okay, I'll do that.
And you keep going on your healthy path. Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
And I see that we have Temple from Texas on the line.
Yes.
Hello, Temple.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Temple. How can I help you today?
Yes, I was wanting to know my future.
Could you be a little more specific, Temple? What you're asking about?
Like what might happen, like through the years and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. I know you're asking more like a psychic reading. And I'm happy to give you a little bit of a hit, but more the purpose of the show is about, you know, is there a specific thing that's going on in your life right now that you're wanting some guidance about?
Yes.
And what would that be?
What's going to happen, I guess, with me and my kids and stuff like that.
Well, Temple, I'm gonna tell you what's coming through for me to share with you is that you're much more powerful than you realize right now, and that your future and your children's future can depend a lot on the direction and choices that you make right now in your life. And I sense that there might be some fear about the economy or finances and that you're wondering what to do. And I'm hearing that somebody may present you with something, open up to something that you might think is an odd idea, but that really there's a strong urgency sense of call for you to take some action. Does that make any sense to you, what I said?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. There's just, I'm hearing really loud and strong that you can do it, Temple. You know, your future is not tied to or determined by who you're with or by being alone or whatever's going on. To believe more in yourself. That's what I'm saying. And they're saying that you've already had some hunches or some ideas of things to do. And I'm hearing it's a great idea to take action on them. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
And we have Liz on the line from the UK.
Hi, Evie.
Hello, Liz, from across the pond. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you? This is very exciting.
Well, thank you. What can I help you with today? What's your question?
I'm calling because I'm wondering if you could recommend sort of from your spiritual side of things, what you would recommend sort of as a good daily spiritual sort of check-in, whether it's meditation or prayer or reading. Sorry, let me just turn. I have you playing as well for my children here.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So let me just turn that off. What you would recommend sort of, or your prescription would be for just sort of a nice daily spiritual beginning sort of, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, practice, I guess that's the word I'm looking for. You know, something that's that you can do every day easily, whether it's in the morning or night or both, like, what would you recommend? Bella wants to ask you a question, but that's okay.
Sure. Well, these are great questions, you know, and I just wanted to say as an aside, this is wonderful. I was expecting, you know, what should I do with my 14-year-old teenage son or this. So these are really rocking questions, 2012. So let me dig in by saying that my prescription would not be maybe what's best for you. But let me just offer some guidance, as I believe that, you know, any practice that we have, we want to be able to incorporate body, mind, and spirit. And the most important thing that I have found is to try and begin your day, and this will be a challenge with the little wee ones, but is to try and take about 15 minutes just for yourself. And whether that's by reading some kind of uplifting literature or meditating, I find that, you know, the silence of just being able to sit for 10 or 15 minutes is really important, you know, and that's where, you know, the the Eastern meditation practices sometimes are difficult for Westerners because we have what we call monkey mind. You know, you sit and then all of a sudden, so I got to get the dry cleaning and oh my God, the kids and blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, just going out and sitting in the garden and hearing the sounds of nature is a really good practice. It's like a quieting down. And that's what really helps you to feel connected. Then it's important to nurture your body with something healthy and have some movement. You know, so even like kind of combining those things, like taking a walk can be a wonderful combination of the physical and like a walking meditation. And so I would say as for the things that, you know, we all need inspiration and upliftment and what I call positive mind feed. And so especially, you know, and so the best way is to figure out, it's like what books, if you go into a metaphysical bookstore or whatever thing, like they have Barnes & Nobles or Borders in the UK or something like that, and you go to the personal growth or spirituality or see what books appeal to you. You will be naturally drawn. You can ask for, you know, prayer or guidance. And I've noticed in myself that the things I'm drawn to change over time. It seems like we're presented with just the right thing at the right time. And you're not a beginner. you already know. It's like trust yourself in what you're drawn to, okay? Well, and did your daughter have a question?
She did. Now I've left the room and they're listening to me asking you the question, so I think
okay.
I bought myself. She literally raised her hand and was like, I have a question, Mom.
What's her question? What's her question?
Let me see what Bella wants to ask. Bella? Do you still want to ask Evie a question?
I don't have a question.
You don't have a question now?
Mm-hmm.
What's my question, honey?
You sound a bit funny.
I sound a bit funny.
You sound a bit funny, okay.
You sound a bit funny, too. It's the American accent. Now, you tell her that
the theme song we start the show with is for her. You named her. She's so
beautiful. It was playing a little something before I actually, you came on, right. And they said, can you turn that off? That's scary, Mommy. There is something playing. But my other question to you is, is it okay to bring your cup of coffee out with you in the morning and sit and just be still for 15 minutes and not actually be in a formal meditation? Is that
Yes. Whatever relaxes you and makes you feel connected is what's important. If a cup of coffee gives you great joy and allows you to sit there in the peace and in the silence and just enjoy the sun, the birds, that is every bit as spiritual as sitting in a lotus position. Do what works for you. Everything
Excellent.
Is okay.
Excellent. That's just what I needed to hear.
Thanks for the call, Liz. Thank you very much, Evie. And we're going to be back in a moment. We're going to take a quick break to commercial. What woman doesn't want pretty feet? And men too, for the, you know, when we really think about it. And I wanted to tell you about this fabulous product that I use in my own life, and it's called Pretty Feet. And they're actually healthy feet buffing pads. They look like a cross between a pumice stone and a loofah sponge. They are really, really awesome. The name of the company is Healthy Glow Skin Products that a friend of mine just bought and gave me some samples. And these things really, really rock. You just have them in your shower and they last for 6 months. They're really wonderful for diabetics. They're eco-friendly green. The really cool thing is they eliminate dry, cracked, and callous skin. You know how we ladies get that challenge in our heels. And it's so nice to be using that instead of a blade, you know, one of those things you rub over your feet. So I encourage you, and as a gift for the Ask Evie radio show, they will give you free shipping if you want to call them in. 800-843-7864, 800-843-7864. Tell them you're calling from the Ask Evie show. They'll give you free shipping. They have a whole range of personal pedicure kits and all sorts of spa products. They're spa quality products at retail prices for individual users. So I highly, highly recommend them. And once again, 800-843-7864. Okay, and we are back on live, and I see that we have a question from Pamela. Pamela from California, are you there? Hi, is Pamela?
Yes, hello.
Hi, hello, thanks for the call. How can I help you today?
Thank you. Well, I was recently involved in a domestic battery incident, and you know, a witness saw it and whatever. Anyway, he was, I guess, was convicted of it. But you know, just throughout the process, it's been quite hard, and he's shown no contrition or remorse or anything, and almost has really portrayed himself as the victim. And I'm just sort of wondering how you might recommend emotionally getting past that. You know, I have a lot of different emotions all the time, from sadness to anger.
I'm sorry, you know. Pamela, you're cutting out a little bit. You're going through a whole range of emotions, is what you said?
Yes, just because of this incident. And I just sort of wonder what suggestions you might have to just be able to move on.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say to you, you've been through quite a bit. And it's really common with domestic batterers that they do the opposite of what he's doing, which is they'll come and be so contrite and I'm so sorry and it'll never happen again. And I'm as hard as it is to go through, I'm so glad to hear he isn't doing that with you. Because that's a lot of times what will get a person to go back into a relationship and all of that. And then there's a cycle in domestic battery that they talk about is honeymoon. Oh, I'm so sorry, I love you, da-da-da-da. Escalation, explosion, and it just keeps going in a circle. And so what he is doing is trying to make himself the victim about what happened, and that's his story and his own issues to deal with. But you're left over here with having been harmed by someone who supposedly loved you. And about the best thing that I would recommend for you to really move through this quickly is to get into a support group and or see a therapist in your area. Support groups help a lot. You know, in that you can see people in all different stages and phases, including people who are coming through it. Because when you go through something like that, it really, I don't have to tell you, it shakes you to your core. And it makes you question everything about yourself. And it can also kick up all sorts of other anxieties and stuff. So that's what my biggest recommendation would be to you. And Pamela, I'm going to recommend if you email me at Evie@AskEvieRadio.com, Evie@AskEvieRadio.com. I will be happy to provide some additional resources to you, okay?
Okay, that would be wonderful. I will do that.
Okay, Pamela, thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
Welcome. Okay, and so I have another email question here that I'd like to respond to. It's from a Karen in California who saw on her son's Facebook page. She said that, I know I probably shouldn't have been looking on it, but I did. And it appears that he's being bullied, and I don't know what to do. I don't really want to let him know I was looking at his Facebook page. And on the other hand, I'm very concerned because of all this bullying and name-calling. And so, Karen, I would say to you that, once again, you know, this question is, depending on his age, we might want to do different things, you know, whether how much you get involved in it. And first of all, I would be upfront with him, saying, you know, that you saw her, because I think it's always good to model the truth for our children. And then also that, where you live in California, I mean, nationwide, this is such a problem, but California, I mean, pretty much there is zero tolerance for bullies in school and the like. And I would work on empowering your son, you know, not knowing whether he's a grade school kid or a teenager. There might be different things that you would do. Some kids will just try and slough it off as, oh, mom, you know, they're just name-calling. Everybody does that. But you want to make the point about that. That's how people can be in denial of things and how things escalate. You know, as a parent, it's, I think, important to note that we're not only raising our children, we're raising the next generation or citizens of the world. So we want people to stand up to bullying, discrimination, and that sort of thing. So if he's a younger kid, I would say instantly empower him by having him, you know, unfriend his friends on Facebook. And perhaps empowering him, you know, that you're going to go to the school or talk to people about it at school, because maybe there's education programs needed or something like that. If it's a teenager, I would empower him to, you know, take some, unfriend them and talk about, it's like the best kinds of things are like by example, that people who act like this towards you aren't really friends and what friendship is really about. So I hope that helps. Thanks so much. And the lines are open, and the toll-free number once again is 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. And in the meantime, I have another email also from California where let's see, a woman is talking about her mother-in-law is driving her crazy. Her husband doesn't stand up to her, the mother, and she's going crazy because she's got three kids, 3, 5, and 7, and the mother-in-law is consistently giving advice and telling her what to do with the children all the time and how to raise them. That's a great question. A lot of people go through that. Oh, no, sorry. It's not California. It's Carlene from Nevada. Well, Carlene, what I would say to you is that trying to get between your husband and your mother-in-law is like sticking your face in perhaps a buzzsaw, and that perhaps what might be best in this case is for you to take your own stand with her in a gracious but firm way of setting a boundary, of that you appreciate her ideas, but your concept of parenting is different. And that you'll take her, what she's saying under advisement, but this is how you do things here. Like, treat her like you would anybody that would say something to you on the street or at work about how to raise your children. If you can kind of have that boundary or philosophy in talking to her, that is good. As an aside, with your husband, it would be good to talk about, you know, what your concepts of parenting are together, and that though your mom may mean well, that we're doing things differently here, and this is, you know, just how I'm handling it, okay? And that's probably the best course of action that you can take. I'd also encourage you to talk to her about how wonderful it is to be a grandmother. It sounds like she's having a hard time letting go of the mother role. It's still spilling over into your husband and your kids. And, you know, being a grandma can be so much cooler than having to be the mom. So that's what I'm hearing might help. Thanks so much for that great, great question. And the lines are open. Once again, the number is 888-815-9756. And while we're waiting for those, let me move to the part of the program where I'd like to make some comments or do something that I'm thinking of that could give us a little inspiration for over the next week, something to think about or lift us up. It's ironic that Charlene's mother-in-law grandmother question is the lead into this. Last week when I was looking in the Los Angeles Times and reading just the daily horoscope, I thought it was amusing. You know, sometimes the horoscopes have great sayings in them, like fortune cookies. And it said to remember that the greatest teachers in your life aren't carrying textbooks. And I smiled at that, and I thought, wow, how true that was in life, that the people who have taught me the most, it really hasn't been in a classroom. And for some reason I started to flash back to earlier in my life and remembering my maternal grandmother, Rose Malone. She was a first generation Irish immigrant, came to America. Her husband died at a young age and she had 7 children to raise. She's been gone a long, long time, but I remember wonderful times. I loved being with her when I was about 5 or 6 years old. And there was, she was just so cool to be with. She was just so loving and kind. Although she looked stern, she really wasn't. And I remember she taught me to shine my shoes, and she had this funny expression, which was that when you shine your shoes, you need to pay as much attention to the heels as to the toes, because they see you going as well as coming. And you know, I thought about that throughout life. It was just funny to me, you know, about putting your best foot forward and what we show to other people. And then I realized there's a lot more to it than that, isn't it? I think it's not just about shining shoes. You know, I really took that in as a metaphor for the light that we show and shine to people, our public persona. It's good if that matches what's in the back. And as I was thinking about this segment for the show, she must have been visiting me in my dreams, because I woke up with another thing that she said. She used to say to me, "Don't be a street angel and a house devil." That always made me roar. And I thought about that in my own life. It's funny, even when we do work where we're of such service to others and so loving and kind, and then we can go home and open the door and the house is the mess, or the kids are the husband, and blah, 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 blah. It's wonderful. It was just such a wonderful thing to hear that again. And it's like aspiring to be that we're the same way, the inside and on the outside, that how we are with the people that we live with day by day, the ones that we love the most, to show them the most love and to kind of be congruent, that we're not saying one thing publicly and how we act and show up in our personal life is so different. Those were wonderful lessons from my grandmother. Thank you, Rose Malone. And I realize I've had many, many grandmothers in my life. I have been so blessed. And they come in all shapes and sizes and ages. That grandmother archetype, when I think of it, is really someone who loves you unconditionally, who is so supportive of you, and also tells you what you need to hear to improve, but in a place that comes from heart and spirit. So who are the grandmothers in your life? It might be friends. It might be young children. It's amazing to me how many 4- and 5-year-olds have the wisdom of grandmothers. It may be your mother. It may be your best friend. It may be the council of the 13 indigenous grandmothers. I'm grateful for that wisdom. Thank you, Rose Malone. Thank you so much for being the bright spot in my life and for those great sayings. And I'll continue to try and do my best to be shiny and bright on the outside, both front and back. And I encourage you to do the same. And let's break to commercial. I wanted to take this time to talk to you about a cause that is so near and dear to my heart, and hope that you can open your heart to hearing about it. I wanted to talk to you about this wonderful organization called Coastal German Shepherd Rescue. So that's coastalgsr.org, coastalgsr.org. And I'm a lover of German Shepherds. I have two. And the people that run this organization, such earth angels. And why I wanted to bring it up is I don't think people realize the plight that that pets are in with this whole foreclosure crisis and the recession. Typically online, they might have 30 or 40 dogs available for adoption at one time. And now there's like 180. And, you know, many times people are reluctant to adopt a rescue dog. They may think it has behavior problems or something. I've found that it's a great way to adopt because they know the different personalities of the dog, whether they're a little couch potato that just wants to be loved up or they're going to be your best jogging buddy. And I would encourage you just to stop by. I know there's San Diego chapter because they've been so inundated. They could use some, they're doing a fundraiser. So I wanted to tell you about this wonderful improv night that they're having at the Irvine Spectrum in Orange County on October 19th. Doors open at 6:30 and the show begins at 8. This is a really great recession buster. I can't believe for $40 there's a comedy show, dinner including tax and gratuity, and just a wonderful evening for a wonderful cause. If you can't make that, you can stop by coastalgsr.org. They have a wonderful PayPal contribution system set up, and just have a look-see. And, you know, whatever, no matter what your background is, that I just wanted to bring this to people's awareness. There's many, many, many rescue organizations, and the animals certainly could use our help right now. So thanks so much for listening to that. And I see we have a call from Stephanie in Venice, California, on line 2. Stephanie, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Evie.
Hi, Steph. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thank
help
you.
You with.
Thank you for having the show.
Welcome. Thanks so much for calling in.
I have a very quick question that has to do with family as well. I heard your last caller.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a newlywed. I've been married just over a year, and I have to say that one of my greatest challenges as a married woman is in setting boundaries with the mother-in-law, and I feel like such a cliche for even asking this,
Oh, no, you're at the head of a very long line, Stephanie. Real issue with a lot of people.
Yeah. I tell you, it's interesting. My husband's really close with both of his parents. They live on the East Coast, so they we only see them a few times a year. And they're lovely, amazing people. But when we need to have our space or we're dealing with things ourselves, he'll ask them, and specifically his mom, to give us space and not email me all the time and not call me all the time. And she doesn't really seem to know how to back off. And it's
you mean she still, when you say she doesn't seem to know, you mean she still calls and emails you?
Yes, yes.
So she ignores her son's request, is what you're saying?
Hold on, I could barely hear you. Can you ask that again?
Yeah, she ignores her son's request, is what you're saying. She says,
yes,
oh, okay,
definitely,
honey, and then does it anyway.
Yeah, and she's definitely a very strong personality, and I am as well, and I'm trying so hard to tread lightly so that I don't alienate my husband. But I'm not clear about how you know, she'll demand calls with us and Skype meetings so we can all talk, and it's just interesting, and I know I feel like I should see this all as an attempt to have a relationship with me and share in our lives. But for some reason, it feels more like a controlling maneuver, and I'm not sure how to see this clearly and how to help my husband set boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say to you that this is a tough one maybe for a lot of people to hear, but it's about a lot of behaviors. What the person's motivation or intention is, whether it's good or bad, doesn't, you know, whether it's to be controlling or to stay in touch, isn't so much of the issue as the impact on your life, like it's too much. And it's not something that you want to participate in so much. And what I'm cluing into is you said you have a tendency to tread lightly. So, like, how are you currently handling when you've specifically tried to set a boundary, and perhaps you haven't, it's just been your husband? Is that what you said? You've asked him to say, please, yeah, okay. So when she does contact you, how do you handle it? What's treading lightly, may I ask?
Well, I guess usually I'll respond and acknowledge your notes and have conversation, but I won't, I think her intent, and she says things like, I'm so excited to have a daughter and a girlfriend, and she, I think, wants to be in heavy dialogue with me in that way, and so I'll respond, but I won't respond as much and as lengthy as I believe she would want. But if I did that, I swear I'd be on email on the phone with her all the time every day, and so I respond a little bit, but I don't engage as much, and it doesn't seem to be helping, and then I think it's tough because she goes to my husband and says she never gets to talk to us and she misses us. And the reality is I think she wants to use me as an avenue to be in better communication with her son as well. So it feels sort of doubly exhausting.
Okay, so am I hearing that you and your husband are in alignment with the frequency, amount of contact, and the type? Meaning if you say,
I'm
okay to have a Skype call once a week, you're in alignment with that?
Yes.
With your husband?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the thing that matters the most. See, because a lot of the stuff that happens in couples is, well, you know, my mother means well, and what's the big deal if we talk two or three times a week? I miss it. So what I'm hearing you saying, and it's quite interesting, is that she's hoping through you to have a better relationship with her son, meaning by what she defines as more communication.
Yes, exactly.
So what I would recommend you do is don't reinforce behaviors that you don't want to see repeated. So if, for example, you're set to have a weekly Skype call, say Sunday at noon, and she's emailed you Tuesday or Wednesday about minutia or something to get back to you, don't respond and just bring it up in your Skype call. So that she starts to learn that you, no matter how much she reaches out or whatever, to cherish the time that she has and make the best use of that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And hopefully that helps. It's not, you just bring it up as matter of fact. Like, oh, yeah, I know you asked me about blah, blah, blah. And that you talk and you take full use of that time there.
Wow, okay. And being more organized about it. Okay, that's helpful.
And more consistent.
Right.
More consistent.
Got it.
Because it sounds like she's got her own issues to deal with being on the other side of the country or lonely or empty nest or whatever's going on. But that's not your problem. You have a really good relationship with your husband. You have this, you're in complete alignment about how much contact and whatever. And I know that parents love their kids and want to stay in touch. And I also know that people have very busy lives. So these
right.
kinds of things have to be scheduled and, that then you can kind of have a more open heart and really be present with her in that moment and loving and whatever, and that, in those times
that
she gets
great.
The best. Okay.
That sounds great, and that sounds like something that would also really work for her, for sure.
Yeah.
That's
helpful. You know how
Thank
people
you,
just
Eddie.
Kind of pick it up, and sometimes that's maybe why it's not going to get them the response they want, but that, it's kind of odd that, they sense something's off, so they try and outreach even more.
It's true, but she sends my husband emails about how sad she is, and if we visit, it's never enough days, and it makes me really sad to see that, and at the same time, it feels a little bit passive-aggressive and controlling, and I definitely get the hair up on the back of my neck about that.
Well, see, I would pay attention to that. Those are good clues, and because it might even make you, in addition to sad, it sounds like it makes you mad.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you're getting subtly guilt-tripped into, you can't stay a month or whatever. And, of course, what mother on the East Coast wouldn't want her son and daughter-in-law to stay forever? But that's their dream and their life, and, set the time up that you can be fully present. Whatever, and so that she can start to maybe relax into that. No matter what she does, she knows she has that to look forward to, and that it's a good time.
Awesome, that's great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Steph.
All right, take care.
Okay. So, and once again, for everyone, the calling number is 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. So I have another email question here from Stella in San Diego. And the essence of it is that she is in her second marriage. She has a wonderful relationship with her two teenage daughters. Her husband moved here from another state, and the ex-wife has custody of those kids. And that she has, the mother has some significant emotional problems and is creating problems with her husband's children, like painting her as, she doesn't say it this way, but like the evil home-wrecking person. And blended families are such a challenge to begin with. And what it sounds like here, she's going on to say, is that it gets she and her husband into arguments, that maybe she's taking the brunt of because they are unable to have all the kids live here and stuff. So, what I would say to you is you might be taking the brunt of his frustration with his wife from the first marriage, that he's saying things to you he couldn't say to her. They're in another state. So my recommendation would be to you is that when the kids come to visit or you go to visit them, that you make it as pleasant as possible. The hard truth is this, that by the time kids are teenagers, the primary focus and in their life is peers, not parents. And the best thing that you can do is be loving and supportive and let he and the ex-wife work it out as best as possible, and that you can stay in partnership with your husband. if it's getting so unpleasant to that point where he's consistently trying to blame you for, you know, stonewalling or thwarting visits or something like that, it's hard to tell from the email what's really up. I would encourage you to, you know, get into some couples counseling just to talk it out about how best you could handle this, because in my experience, it's so much easier for a partner to hear something from the, it could be the, exactly the same thing you have been saying for the last 6 months, day in and day out, and all of a sudden it comes out of somebody else's mouth who's outside the family, and they can act like they're hearing it for the very first time, and isn't that a great idea? And wouldn't that be great if that happened? Some more about that, I'll be happy to handle it if you, you know, and talk to you in the next show. Maybe you could call in. So that's about all that we have time for today. I wanted to say in closing a few things. I wanted to, first of all, thank a few people. I wanted to thank Don, the producer at BBS, the great team there. And I wanted to thank my own production team, Mark and Paula and Betsy. You have been such a godsend and bright lights to me these past few weeks. I couldn't have done it without you. And a special thank you to Anna Taylor in London, whose beautiful music we heard at the opening of the show about beautiful. And in a moment, we're going to close with another Earth Angels song that I have never met this man. I so love his music. His name is James Stewart from South, and he's working directly with Nelson Mandela to get out through music that whole feeling of freedom and letting one's light shine. So I will leave you with the beautiful strains of James Stewart's amazing song, Shine, and then I'll be there with a closing message. So, Maestro, if we could key that up, that would be great. Thank you so much, everyone. Be a light in someone else's light this week. Shine brightly, and I hope to see you next Friday. Thanks so much.